There is a thematic progression, or there has been a thematic progression for the last three main services at which I have preached, and so I didn't know that until I was preparing for this sermon when it all fell together. So on Christmas, we were talking about the birth of Jesus being a symbol of being born again, and the fundamental Christian claim that this second birth, this spiritual rebirth, is becoming part of some process that frees us from the cosmic powers of sin and death. And so the birth of Jesus is symbolic of that spiritual birth in our own hearts. And then the next Sunday, we talked about baptism, and how baptism is the symbol of that process, of that becoming free, which paradoxically involves dying to your old self and rising to a new self. And so you put to death the old way and you rise to the new way. And this is about freedom. And as we move into the season after Epiphany, it becomes about ministry. That the lections all move from salvation to baptism to ministry. And that ministry is about living into that freedom which is promised to us in Jesus. That and the readings today touch on it in some interesting ways. And I'm going to be touching on all of them, but it's really with this concept of ministry. And the word that really brings it all together for me is vocation. So when we become part of the new paradigm of baptism, which I contrasted last week with the prevailing paradigm of a therapeutic person, the baptized person, the person that is dying to self and rising to new life, where love and freedom are at the center, that part and parcel of that transformation, that new paradigm of baptism, is to live into a vocation, that you are no longer living for yourself. You are living for the purpose for which you were made. And in order to discover and live into that purpose, this is part and parcel of that transformative process symbolized in baptism, and is part of that road to freedom. And so we have stories of call, stories of vocation in today's readings, particularly the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'll come to fornication, but we'll get there later. they're fun readings to preach on. They really are. I'm sorry, this is a complete aside. I always wonder who's going to get to read that one every year. So congratulations, Joan, you know. And my advice to the reader for that one is when you get that, just proclaim it. Just, you know, just lean into it. That's what you do. Anyway, we'll get there. But we have the call of Samuel, and then we have the call of Nathaniel, bracketing the service. And so we've gone into ministry and call. And of course, we're following in the lectionary that you know, from the baptism of Jesus into his life and ministry, and ultimately we'll get to his death and resurrection, and then the time of the church. So we're in the time of Jesus in this Epiphany season before we get to Lent. And it's about ministry. It's about living into a vocation. And so God had a purpose for Jesus. Jesus wasn't here just to have a good time. Jesus was here to live out his vocation. And that is a kind of freedom. And it's a paradoxical freedom, but it is a freedom. Paradoxically, the freedom that we proclaim in church is more free than the freedom to do whatever the heck you want. Because when you're doing whatever the heck you want, you're still a slave to something. And it's usually your own appetites. And those are far more tyrannical than any expectations of what you were meant to do and be, which is the whole subject of vocation. And I hope this doesn't come as news to any of you, but that word vocation used to be shorthand for clergy vocations, for ordained ministry, for a call to ordained ministry. And certainly all of us that felt called to this ministry have some story of being called, of hearing something stir in our hearts that we were meant to do this at some level. But of course, I hope it doesn't come as news to you that this is not a property exclusive to clergy. This is inherent in the baptismal paradigm, that every baptized Christian is baptized into this new paradigm of living into what God meant you to be. And so the question for the baptized person is always not what do I feel like today, but it is, what is God calling me to today? And that starts with with knowing yourself and being known by the Lord. Frederick Buechner has the great quote that I hope, again, all of you will recall, which is that the question of vocation is where your deep desire meets the world's deep need. Is everything okay? Do we need to take a minute? Okay. So, Frederick Buchner, the world where your deep desire meets the world's deep need is how you think about vocation. When you say, what am I meant to do? You plumb the depths of who you are, and you find out where your deepest desires are, and you match those deepest desires with the needs of the world. And somewhere in that conversation, it probably is how you discern what you were meant to do. So as a young person, it's usually about career. What career expresses the deepest values that I have as a person, and how do those deep values match what the world actually needs? And the other piece that Buchner's phrase doesn't quite catch is, what am I actually good at? So there are things that you can desire and delight in, but you may be terrible at them, in which case they're a hobby. That's great. Enjoy it. Live into it. But maybe that's not the vocation. That at some level, meeting the world's deep need requires a certain facility or skill. But by the same token, if you don't have a deep love for the things you're good at, you're not actually going to be very good at them because you don't care enough to get good at them, to keep playing at them, to have the love at the heart of what you do be so compelling that you can't help but apply yourself to doing what you're doing more and more and more effectively. So vocation is a baptismal question. What is my vocation? And again, it's not only is it too limiting to think about that in terms of clergy, it's also too limiting to think about that in terms of career. Because not all careers are vocations. Sometimes you do something to pay the bills. That's totally fine. Maybe you do something to pay the bills so that you can then do something else, which is the thing that you were meant to do. Because sometimes the things that you were meant to do don't pay. And as a musician, I'll tell you, people were meant to be creative and create art, and it doesn't pay. So you need a day job in order to do the thing you were meant to do. So doing the day job doesn't have to be the expression of who you are, doesn't have to be the thing that meets the world's need, but the thing that meets the world's need and expresses your deep, the deepest self of who you are is that artistic expression, which is not career, it is nonetheless vocation. All things are lawful, not all things are beneficial. Here we come to the fornication one. And I'm not going to talk about fornication, but it's about the principle that fornication is about, which is all things are lawful, not all things are beneficial. And so Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and Paul's whole thing was about freedom, that we are now free from these constraints, that Christ came to set us free. And Paul, as an observant Jew, felt even that his own Jewish tradition of the law, his way of relating to God by trying to be faithful to the law, was just another form of enslavement. So you could be a slave to your appetites, but you could also be a slave to the law. And the law was good because it was trying to protect you from your appetites, but it was still not the kind of intimate relationship where you are becoming one with the Lord, your Creator, that he discovered in Jesus. And so Jesus, for Paul, allowed him to go past the law into relationship. And it was a freedom. So I don't need to worry about the law because I have this new relationship with Jesus and God, and it's a kind of freedom. And so he was preaching this, and the Corinthians went, ooh, crystal meth is on the table. And this is where Paul writes, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Because, of course, fornication, crystal meth, drug addiction, addictions of all kind are just that original slavery from which the law was trying to save the Jewish people. So we haven't gotten ahead if we've thrown out the law and gone back to being a slave to our appetites. And so in that question of vocation, it's not, again, a question of what do I feel like doing. It is that deep process of my deepest values, and I think that's a better word than desire, the deepest values and where those meet the needs of the world. So you come finally to Eli. And there's an optional section of this reading which I left in today. You could cut it out. I mean, the lectionary allows you to cut out the uncomfortable bits. And I said, nope, this time I'm leaving the uncomfortable bit in. And so normally we stop this reading when he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And then he receives a word from the Lord. And then we stop the reading and everything is lovely because he's now a prophet and it's all awesome. And this is the final point of vocation, is that freedom sometimes leads you into uncomfortable places. Because when you are deeply listening to where the Lord is calling you, often it calls you to challenge vested interests that are corrupting and destroying the creatures of God. When you become part of the new paradigm of the freedom of living with love at the center, then you are called to speak out against where that doesn't happen and why, and where it makes the world the way it is. So the thing that I love about that second uncomfortable part is that Eli, who is the official prophet, and his family have the job of being the official prophet of Israel, realizes that you have a legitimate prophecy coming out of this kid and says, you better tell me what it is. And then what out it comes, which is you're in a lot of trouble, you and your whole family, because you've been completely betraying all of your responsibilities. And I love Eli's response is, well, it's the Lord, he can do what he wants. Which is the epitome of the weak person who just can't change what he's doing. If God is going to punish me, then God's going to punish me. What can I do? What's a guy to do? And so you have that contrast between this powerful word of the Lord from Samuel and Eli, who is too weak even to respond to it. And as the story goes along, Samuel becomes one of the great prophets of Israel, and Eli's house does disappear. So vocation isn't all fun, but it's free. It's freeing. And yes, I've lived it. It's not all fun, but I wouldn't trade it. And that's really where I'm going with this vocation, the vocation point. I would not trade a life that is not based in who I am and is not based on my deepest values and is not based on the world's deep needs, because that is a slavery more inhibiting and more life-destroying than the service of goodness and truth and beauty, which looks like you're making sacrifices and is making sacrifices and does lead you into uncomfortable situations. And yet it is still a kind of freedom that you have to live in order to experience. And I think many of us have that understanding and can relate, I hope. So we move from salvation to baptism to vocation. And I think the question for all of us is where we are being called. Now, the last thing I'll say about it is that it's not one decision for all. You don't make one decision about your vocation and then you're done. It's kind of a decision that changes with the context of your life. There are phases in your life when you're called to do and be different things. And so you always have to stay open to that question. I don't want to trivialize it by saying it's a day-to-day question, because there are big movements in your life when this question becomes more significant and can actually change the direction of your life in a more significant way than the day-to-day question of where is God calling me today. So I don't want to lose that bigger focus when I expand the definition of vocation much more broadly than clergy, than work, or even than a one-time decision about who you are and what you're going to do with your life. So it is a constant question. It is a constant living in to what we were called to do and to be, and in pursuing that, in pursuing the will of the Lord with your whole being, it becomes a kind of freedom, and it is part of the process of being liberated from the power of sin and death, which is where we started in the first place. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.